Hello and welcome along to another episode of From the Horse's Mouth. My name is Tom Nugent. Patrick Kennelly just seems to do no work at all these days. He's taken the summer holidays truly to heart and off he goes once again into the sunset. So I'm standing in for him, but I'm delighted to be joined by Rory DeLarge and Ruby Walsh on probably one of the busiest racing weeks of the summer with so much going on. We're in the midst of it, still in the thick of it. Goodwood and Galway still ongoing, but we're coming to the sting in the tail. And the lads are going to run you through the weekend's action. We get underway. We're going to take a look at Goodwood on Saturday first. And Rory, you're going to lead the charge here. We're going to take a look at the opening race on Saturday at Goodwood. It's the 105. It is the maiden over 7 furlongs. And Classic is the 11-8 favourite with Paddy Power currently for Richard Hannon and Pat Dobbs. The Fox is next in at 3-1 for Andrew Balding and David Provert. 4-1 Loyal Touch for Ryan Moore and the Johnsons. And 8-1 and Bigger the Rest.
Yeah, strange to be starting a big race day with a maiden race televised. Normally they're not particularly attractive betting mediums, but I thought I'm surprised Classic's as big as 11-8, to be honest. He's a son of Tabawi out of a mare called Date with Destiny, who was the only foal of George Washington, and she did well for owner breeder Julie Wood. Classic is her seventh. Time flies, I have to say. I remember Date with Destiny as if it was last year, but this is her seventh foal. And he shaped tremendously well in a very strong-looking novice at Newbury on debut, finishing less than a length and a half fourth behind Targi. He will improve chunks for that. He's extremely well entered up. I think he's got an entry in the Champagne Stakes. He's also in the Derby next year. And given the improvement you tend to see from him and the fact that Richard Hannon tends to aim his better two-year-olds at Goodwood, I thought Classic would have been odds on, to be perfectly honest. This is a decent maiden because the Foxes comes here from the Chesham, where he was a little bit disappointing. He only finished 9th of the 13 that day, but he was badly drawn as the race panned out. And he's another who had shaped very well in his debut at Newbury. That was in a novice that's worked out really well. We've seen that form early in the week. He was behind Dark 30, Mysterious Night, and Marban. Dark 30 was then third in the superlative at Newmarket. Mysterious Night was the winner of a maiden here at Goodwood earlier in the week. And Marban won the Vintage Stakes. So that's very strong form indeed. I'd be massively inclined just to go in there with a big forecast. I think the two of them absolutely stand out. And you get about 5-1 about that forecast as it stands at the moment. That seems to me to be very good value. I think they're a fair way clear of the other one with form, which is the Johnson horse. And I think the newcomers have a pretty stiff task in that contest.
Lovely stuff. A forecast to get things underway at Goodwood. The next race we're going to look at is the 140. It's the consolation race for the Stewards' Cup. Lethal Levi is 6-4 favourite for Carl Burke. Mockatiel 7-1 for Ian Williams. Dream Composer 15-2 alongside Nelson Gay. 10-1 Many a Star alongside Mertress on Fire and Stone of Destiny. 12-1 and Bigger the Rest. Money Back special here with Paddy Power. It's Money Back as a free bet if your horse finishes second, third or fourth, up to a max of a 10. Are the usual terms and conditions apply? Rory, what do you like?
Well, that offer is tempting enough because Lethal Levi is a very short price at 6-4, but he's absolutely impossible to oppose here. He is officially £9 well in. I suspect he'd be rated. Listen, he's a group horse. He gets in here. This is obviously it's just an ordinary, essentially a class 2 handicap on paper. It's really a class 3 or class 4, but because it was part of the Stewards' Cup, it's an early closing race. He's won twice since entries closed, and he carries a 6-pound penalty for the second of those wins, which was his most impressive to date. If he repeats the form of his last run, he'll win this by several lengths, and I see absolutely no reason to be against him. Stall 3 might not be the best place to come from, but it's quite a small field, and I don't think it'll bother him particularly. But if you're looking for one to finish to back for small stakes in the hope that you might get a bit of a result or get your money back, Dark Shots was the horse who won the charity race at Goodwood earlier in the week. And he won by about 10 lengths as well. Well, he didn't. He ended up winning it narrowly, but he had the race absolutely blown to pieces at halfway. And that never appears in the form book. So if he turns out again, he looks like he's coming off the back of a poor run at Southall. But he's very well suited by this kind of track. And I could see Dark Shot running on for second or third. And he is a 33-1 shot at the moment. So if you don't want to back a short price favorite, then he might give you a little bit of fun at a price. But I think Lethal Levi is pretty much a moral here.
A moral, so says Rory De Largy. 210 at Goodwood is next up. It's the Carl Summer handicap over a mile and six. Joint favorites here at 9-2, Soapy Stevens and Trawler Man. Valley Forge 5-1, 7-1, Cavan, Bag Dora 17-2, and it's 10-1 and bigger the rest. And at this juncture, it is my pleasure to draft in our B team panelist, Ruby Walsh. How are things?
Good to have you back, Tom. Good to have you back.
Great to be back. Yeah.
Sound like you've been in Galway all week, have you?
No, just only one day.
Getting old. Yeah. You can only hack one day and it sounds like you're there for a week.
Can't take it anymore.
Oh, well, there you have. I'm going for one at a big price here. Charlie and Mark Johnson is the max we can. Has decent enough Goodwood form. He's won twice at the track from four starts. He's dropped down to a mark that I think he's capable of running well off, which is 96. He wears a first-time visor. We know he stays. He's a bit of age on his side, but Mark Johnson and Charlie Johnson can crop up here with a horse that looked out of form, and I'm going to go for him at a big price. He's run about 25-1, I think, Tom.
Lovely stuff. The max we can for Ruby Walsh. Rory?
Yeah, I wouldn't put you off the match we can at a big price. And the change of headgear is probably a positive for him. We know he's had a blinkers on before, so sometimes sticking severe headgear on one out of nowhere can send them one of two ways, but he shouldn't have an issue with that. But I'm very sweet on Valley Forge in this race. I'd make him clear favourite. He was ostensibly disappointing when he was seventh in the Northumberland play. If you watch that race back, he traded evens in the run with 3 furlongs to go that day. He travelled so sweetly in the race, which we now remember entirely for Trushan's winning performance. But he didn't get home on the slow surface there at Newcastle. Turned out to be a real test of stamina, which suited Trushan down to the ground. Didn't suit Valley Forge, who's a very strong traveller at this trip, but is at 2 miles rather, but is probably ideally suited by a mile and three quarters and quick ground. He was an impressive winner of the Melrose handicap at York last season. Winning that gets him into the Ebor. With a mark of 93, given how classy the Ebor is these days, he'll actually be out of the handicap. The rules, the setup of that race now is, even though he would get in with sort of, I don't know, 8 stone 10 or something, the rules are that whoever gets in naturally off bottom weight, that becomes the cutoff point. And then Valley Forge would probably be, I don't know, 8 to 10 pounds out of the handicap. So there's no issue here with, he doesn't need to get a penalty to get into the Ebor. But if he picked up a penalty for this, it wouldn't make any difference to the weight he carries at York. And I think they'd like to pick up a decent pot along the way. This track should suit him given how sweetly he travels in his races. And I think the drop back to a mile and six will really suit him. We know he stays too, because he was quite an impressive winner at Haydock early in the season. But that wasn't a particularly strongly run race, and it suited speed horses at that trip. The other thing, his form looks a little bit patchy on paper, but again, you look back at the Newcastle run and you can see that's just a stamina issue. His other slightly disappointing runs have come on soft ground. So all he needs is good or quicker ground and about a mile and six, and he's a very, very talented horse. As a result, he still ends up being well handicapped. He went up to 90 after winning the Melrose last season. He's still only off 93, and I think that's a lenient handicap mark, which you can show here.
Very, very good. 2:45 is the next race we're going to look at. It is the Lily Langtree over a mile and six. The dead eight go to post at the time of recording. 13-8, Cela Rosa is the favourite for William Haggis and Tom Marquand. Emily Dickinson 5-2 next in for Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore. Yes, yes, 6-1, Rob Hormery and Ray Beckett. Glenn Artney 8-1, and it's 9-1. Urban Art is 14-1, and bigger the rest. Rory, what do you like in the Lily Langtree?
I don't like much in the Lily Langtree, I have to say. I would have happily skipped over this race. I think it's a tough one. I would have a small investment on Viola, who ran very well behind Cela Rosa on her penultimate start, and probably should have finished closer that day. She was given an awful lot to do off a modest pace that day and ran on very well late in the day. She was just a wee bit disappointing when third to Eternal Pearl at Newmarket last time out. She gives the impression, although she's not tried at this trip, that she should stay. She stays a mile and five on the all weather, which is not necessarily a cast iron guarantee that they're going to stay on turf. But at a decent price, she's a 14-1 shot. She would just be the pick of the weights. But if I had to miss a race out for punting purposes, this would definitely be it.
Oh, not so bad. I thought I was the only one struggling with the Lily Langtry, and therefore I hadn't offered an opinion. But the one I, if you were pushing me, would be Forbearance. I think her runs early this year at York, Cork and Leopardstown in May and June, but when the Harrington Yard were slightly out of form, they're definitely going better now than they were then. And I think she is probably back to the filly she was at the back end of last year, which could see her running well.
3:20 at Goodwood tomorrow over 6 furlongs is the Carl Stewart's Cup. Paddy Power paying 6 places here. 7-1 is the favourite, Mr. Wagyu. When the Deal Is Done, 15-2, 8-1, Chill Chill alongside Inver Park, 9-1, Great Ambassador Tins, First Folio alongside Regional, 12-1, and Bigger the Rest, Ruby Walsh, will stay with you because the Stewart's Cup is pretty straightforward, isn't it?
It is, but since you've gone on your sabbatical, Tom Rory Delargy has educated me an awful lot about sprints and draws and, you know, things, perms and accumulators and all sorts of things. I have a completely different outlook on life now since PK and Rory Delargy took over here. And you look at races completely differently. I came down on the side of a couple. I thought Method at a big price would have a chance from a good draw as a four-year-old. And the one I really liked was Ryan Moore's Ryan Mount Regional, who seems to have fallen off my page wherever it's gone. Here we are. Regional, drawn in 27, right over under the stands rail, off a mark of 100. 4-year-old won the race last year. I think Regional is a good shout.
Rory, you must be some man to be educating Ruby Walsh. You must be a fountain of knowledge.
Well, all it takes is a couple of winning tricasts, and you find that you're hooked on a different kind of betting altogether. So, okay. Ruby's I might have introduced him, but he educated himself very quickly.
Very good.
I've laid my cards on the table with this a fair while ago. Summerhand is the horse I like. He won the race 2 years ago. I thought it was very interesting to see when they made the draw. I didn't watch the draw live. I've slightly better things to do with my time than that. But I had a look afterwards to see who was drawn out of the hat first and where they went. And it seems that there's no real, what's the word, consensus in terms of where you want to be here. People were coming out with a completely different set of ideas about where the best of the draw was. Based on that, unless people were going with lucky numbers. I think one or two of them are going with lucky numbers, to be honest, in terms of the off the draw. But it doesn't really matter where my selection is drawn, because he will be settled towards the back of the field and look to come with a strong run from halfway, as he did when he won this from a middle draw 2 years ago. He was 17 there. He's drawn 10 this time. But again, what's liable to happen is the field's going to break into three groups. Just Another Bottle, Abel Kane and Zargon are going to go hard among the high numbers. Good Eye is another one in there who will go forward. So there's plenty of pace there among the high numbers. Less among the very low group. Popmaster and Lampang probably leading that. And then you get a little group up the middle with probably Above, maybe Coachella going forward from that group. And the key there is how they can sustain that pace deep into the race. And a horse like Summerhand needs the pace in his group to stand up until very late in the day so that he can come through. As we've seen with plenty of races at Ascot this year, if they don't go, not so much hard enough, but if they don't keep the pace of the group up deep enough into the race, then it doesn't suit the hold-up horses. You end up coming through to win in your group, but the other side's 5 lengths clear at the time. So I'd be slightly concerned that maybe the high numbers might get away from them here, because the likes of Just Another Bottle and Mr. Wagyu will be able to sustain a gallop just off the pace for very deep into the race. And that group might be favoured. But as I said, I've been with Summerhand, Anti-Post. The key to him is just running at this time of the year. He's got a remarkable record in the summer. Outside of group company, his form in the last 5 years over just in July and August reads 1-2, 1-3-1, 3-4, 2-1-1, 2-0-1-5. The unplaced run, I think it was badly drawn, and the five came from the walking of an Ascot last time out, where he rewarded each way support if you punted him that day. But also, despite he was looking for the same gap as Rohan was late in the day, didn't get it, and then was ridden just hands and heels for the last furlong to get fifth. And I thought he wasn't at all knocked about that day. The impression I got was that he would come on for the run And he's become very well handicapped. I think he's as good as he ever was. His runs, he went to Maidan earlier this year. That was a complete waste of time for a horse like him. And it took him time to refine his form. He ran respectably at York at the Dante meeting. He built markedly on that, I think, on a good fifth in the Wokingham. And he'll come forward again. Despite that, he's now £8 lower than when winning this race 2 years ago. And I think he's absolutely chucked in if he gets the race run to suit. That's never guaranteed in the Stewards' Cup. And I do need those in the middle to keep the gallop going. I'd probably have preferred to see him in around stall 20 to 25, but we've got what we've got and he'll run his race.
The penultimate race on Saturday at Goodwood is the 3:55, but it's where we're going to leave our Goodwood coverage. And it is a 7 furlong, the Medallia handicap. A Positive Impact is the 4-1 joint favourite alongside Spirit of Nguru. Zero Carbon, 5-1. Galliac is 13-2 alongside Wooderton, and it's 15-2 in Big of the Rest. Rory, did you like anything here?
I wasn't absolutely mad on it. I find that the horses I liked were the ones towards the head of the market. And as we've seen, often enough at Goodwood this week, the obvious draw biases don't tend to come into effect. We should see the low numbers favourite here, and maybe the fact that we don't have a cutaway might affect that. I think the cutaway was very helpful, certainly on the first 2 days of the Goodwood meeting, because you saw less trouble in running. You saw horses who were drawn on the inside able to stay there and get room late in the day to come with the runs. I think it's a lot more sensible to have a cutaway than not. But we don't have one at the weekend, which can cause trouble in running. With a small field, that shouldn't really be a massive issue. And I thought Last Year Dude would run. I think Ruby was keen on Last Year Dude last time he ran.
He was disappointed with him, Rory.
He was disappointed that day. But in fairness, he's now run twice at Newmarket and run below form both times. And I thought he didn't like the track that day. Now, there's a possibility he won't like Goodwood either, because it might just be the running downhill that he's uncomfortable with, because his impressive performance before that was at Doncaster, where you're against the collar gently through the last 2 furlongs of the race. I would forgive him that run. I couldn't be going with a huge amount of confidence given that he was fancied last time and didn't run his race. But he's got the perfect draw on stall one here if the race pans out for him. There's a fair degree of pace on. Those who are drawn high need to go forward, so they should push on and create a solid pace. And if he gets the gaps late in the day, then Last Year Dude is handicapped to win, I think.
Very good. So concludes our coverage of Glorious Goodwood for 2022, but we've still got the weekend at Galway to look forward to. And in the words of Christy Moore, necks are craned and eyes are strained. There's fear upon their faces, but Ruby Walsh, he saved me life below at the Galway races. Ruby, I've been left very, very strict instructions by Patrick Kennelly to make sure I get a word from you on everything Willie has due to run over the weekend. So we'll start with the opening race tomorrow is the Maiden Hurdle. The Boyle Sports Maiden Hurdle, and Willie has two in it at the moment. Gamut Original is the one that Paul Townend has gone for, and Hugh Briscoe is the other one for Sean O'Keefe in the Richie colours.
Yeah, Hugh Briscoe has improved a fair bit since he chased home Carrick Sam at Ferry House at Easter over 2.5 and dropping back in triple suit him. Just think his best run, well, he's only run at Ferry House, his flat run is at Leicester. They're two very flat, fast tracks compared to Galway, and Gammon Original did look unlucky last year. I thought he'd want to win this race when he unseated Paul at the last, and Purple Mountain ended up winning. I thought she was unlucky earlier in the week. She's got too far back, or maybe hadn't got the gears to hold a good enough position in a handicap hurdle on Wednesday. So yeah, I can see why Paul Townend has gone for Gammon Original, and he will probably be my choice too.
The 2:30 at Galway on Saturday is the Boyle Sports Handicap Hurdle, 65 odd grand to the winner. There's a full field, a 20 going to post, and you were both keen to have a word here. Whiskey Sour tops the weights. Rory, what did you like?
I guess I've got to be the representative of the UK here and suggest that Harry Fry's Boot Hill has a decent chance. I like Boot Hill as a project. He should make a really good chaser, but he didn't have much of a cut at his fences on his only try at Exeter, but he was he looked a horse to follow when he was placed on his handicap debut on the back of one run, because the rules as we have them means that novices need to run three times to get out to be able to run in good handicap hurdles, but horses who are non-novices can get straight in off the back of a win. So he'd won a maiden hurdle at Taunton season before last, And then on his handicap debut, he ran very well to be third in a good race at Ascot, won by Soaring Glory. He hasn't really kicked on from that, but they went chasing with him next time. I think his start after that came in the Betfair Hurdle, which was far too sharp for him. He's a horse who's been placed in a couple of point-to-points. So 2 miles on quickish ground at Newbury was never going to suit. And then he came back to form, went second to a horse I absolutely love at Uttoxeter. This was the day after the Cheltenham Festival when he was second to Beauport. Now, I think Beauport is going to make into an absolutely top-class chaser for Nigel Twiston Davis. He was very progressive over hurdles last season. He won that a class 2 0 to 150 handicap, beating Boothill a length. The pair then came 15 lengths clear of the rest of the field. That was a very valuable hurdle, a good race for the track. And the third horse then won a handicap next time out. So the form is absolutely rock solid. Boothill is a horse who's definitely capable of winning. He's only got up 2 pounds for that, which I think is generous enough. Whether Galway's his track is a little bit of a question mark. He wears a tongue tie. You get the impression there might be just a little bit of a breathing issue underneath there. And what you really want to Galway as a horse is really going to see his race out. You don't want something cruising until the last hurdle. You want to see something that's going to kick in after the last up the hill. So that'll be the slight concern with Boothill, but I'm sure he'll win big races in the next 12 months. And off his handicap mark, I think he's worth a small investment.
Very, very good. Ruby, if there's anything else you want to mention, feel free to stop me, but I'm just going to throw in the two names of the other two horses Willie has to run in the 5:20, the horse that switched from Michael Halbert.
I'd say you may go back to that 2:30 first time.
Go ahead, sorry.
Willie has Whiskey Sour, Favoras, Finest Evermore, and La Prima Donna in that. Of Favoras, he probably ran better in his finished position on Monday. Now, Aubrey McMahon gave him every chance to run well, and that's what he did. And he's beaten 15 lengths by Echoes and Rain. But Kieran Callahan takes 7 off his back and brings him down to 11.5. That'll be a big help for him. Finest Evermore hasn't run since December when she ran well behind Royal Kahala at Leopardstown. That was a decent run. I do think she has one run in Galway before, which is no, wrong filly. I thought I rode her in Galway and she ran poorly. She didn't. But she stays well. Just she's off the track a long time. Favoras was in great form this time last year, but this year he's been disappointing. A poor run behind Buzz and the Cesara, which is the back end, and two ordinary runs behind Maze Runner and Echoes and Rain so far this season. And the Prima Donna, yeah, she'd definitely be the one for me. She won a maiden hurdle at Tipperary after a cracking run at Punchestown behind Camprand, where she ended up too far back in that handicap hurdle and never really got involved. She had a good run prior to that behind Blonde. Blonde was fourth in yesterday's Galway hurdle. I think that's solid form. And yeah, I'd be siding with the Prima Donna there, Tom. So I would. I thought in the 4:45, even though Willie is no runner, or no, he doesn't, I thought one caught my eye earlier in the week and has a good draw here in this 7 furlong race. And that's Excusio Joe. Declan McDonough rides for Matthew Smith. Thought he came home really well behind Dunham here on Wednesday, Tuesday. So I think Excusio Joe is a good chance in that 4:45.
The 5:20 Ruby, mile and a half handicap. The horse has switched from Michael Halbert, Indigo Desert for Willie, first run.
Yeah, first run for Willie. Obviously is a Dundalk winner and ran in a Cork maiden. No idea if Indigo Desert, if the gelding will go on the ground or not. I hope he does. He works well, definitely works to 75. There's no doubt about that. But I thought there was a couple of dark ones in here. I thought Razdan for Chris Timmins ran really well behind Royal Eagle on Monday, and behind him on that occasion was, of course, the Galway Hurdle. No, he didn't run that race. But I thought Razdan ran a blinder on Monday, finished in front of HMS Seahorse. And the other one I thought with a big chance was Insane Bolt. I thought he looked unlucky behind Darkened here on Monday. He came from the clouds to finish third in the handicap hurdle, only got beaten a half a length, and it definitely suited to be on the pace on that occasion. So I think there's a couple of dangers in there for Indigo Desert in Insane Bolt and Razdan.
Mare in the bumper at 5:55, Carrigmore and a Queen.
Yeah, Carrigmore and a Queen. She was second on her only start at Punchestown behind Harmonia Maker. That was at Christmas time. Harmonia Maker is a fair mare of Gordon Elliott's. She's been kept fresh and well, and Patrick takes over. I'd say she could be hard to beat.
Sunday we'll move on. 3:05 is the Eileen Kelly Memorial Chase. Willie runs Augusta Gold.
Yeah, Augusta Gold runs, but I thought Battle Over Dione ran a blinder in the plate to finish fifth behind Hewick. He won this race last year. He obviously has a liking for the track, and back in the conditions race, I thought he would be hard to beat. Peregrine Run could give him the most to do, but I thought Battle Over Dione would be hard to beat. He pulled out twice last year as well and won this race in his second go.
in the Lord Hemphill Memorial Handicap Chase at 3:40. Willie has a Robini in there, but it looks a competitive enough race. Exit pole at the top of the weights.
Yeah, very competitive race, but I think Robini was travelling really well here last year in the race that Fan de Blue beat Gin Online when she fell at the last fence. Brian Cooper rode her on that occasion. She then went to the stall and won. She was third to Global Equity back here then when Brian Hayes rode her. She was probably in front a bit long that day, didn't quite get up the hill. So I think if Paul takes his time a little bit more on her, I think there's a big run in her. She's fresh and well, she's strengthened up, and you know, Close Sutton Racing Syndicate, they have carried the Morning Queen the day before. I think Robini has a great chance.
Two in the bumper to sign off from Galway for 2022, Spread Boss Ted and no Risk No Fun.
Yeah, as I'm looking and as we're recording, it doesn't tell me which one Patrick Mullins is riding unless it's refreshed on somebody else's page. Spread Boss Ted, I thought he would win at Punchestown when he was fourth behind to Marine National. He then went and won at Kilbeggan when he beat down around No Risk No Fun, won well at Wexford over 2.5 miles. It's funny, a lot of Wexford farmers cropped up in Galway this week, and with the new left-handed Galway, or new left-handed Wexford, I mean, it's a stiffer track than it used to be. Visionarian is one, and there's a few more. So I think Wexford Farm going forward will lead you to more Galway winners than people think. So I'm going to side with No Risk, No Fun in the Walters Plant Tire colours. But we skipped the Ahenora, Tom, which was at 4:10. And it was only in the prayer ring afterwards that I learned this, but you learned something once you keep your ears open. Colin Keane got off Salt on Stall on Sunday morning to ride the horse that won the Colin Quinn Mile. It was the last horse to get in.
Right.
Whatever it was called, Magic Chagoon or the horse of Duffy's. Yeah, that horse. So Colin Keane was booked to ride Salt on Stall in the Colin Quinn Mile, but he got off it to ride Magic Chagaga. That was a great call, but he gets back on Salt on Stall, who was a good draw on Stall 8 in the Ahenora Handicap, and I think he ran fine in the Colin Quinn Mile.
Very good, very good. For what it's worth, Patrick has sided with No Risk, No Fun in the bumper, just looking at it there. No, Rory, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, what do you think of Spanish Tenor here? He was wasted as a pacemaker, essentially, in the Colin Quinn Mile.
That opens a debate, Rory, and we can, not a debate, but a question mark. I can understand running pacemakers, and I have no issue with running pacemakers, providing pacemakers are ridden at a speed whereby they could actually win the race if nobody follows them.
Yeah.
But
they are designated as pacemakers, so they take no part in the betting.
Yeah,
which is pushing things too far for sort of Irish or British jurisdictions. We don't tend to do that thing. We could do that in other countries. But yes, the horse needs to be seen to be ridden in its merits, and he went a ridiculous pace. I can see him being much more of a threat here back at 7 furlongs. I think he barely stays a mile anyway. And I think, although, again, Aidan McGuinness has a lot of the same runners who ran in that race, and they probably benefit from a strongish pace, I think Spanish Tenor, ridden a little bit more conservatively, could be a player here.
Lovely stuff. Time to get your best bets of the weekend. Rory, I'll start with you. What's the lock?
As it stands at the moment, I think Valley Forge and that Mile and Six handicap, the price in Summerhand has slipped a little bit. And although Lethal Levi shouldn't get beaten, I'm not really the man to put up 64 shots. So Valley Forge at around 5-1 in the 2:10 at Goodwood on Saturday.
Yes, correct. Ruby?
I don't have a price, Tom. I was going to call you PK. Sorry, after calling Kevin O'Ryan.
Or Fanbury,
Kevin O'Ryan yesterday. I'm getting quite good at it. He didn't take that overly kind. But I'm going to go with La Prima Donna in the handicap hurdle on Saturday at 2:30 in Galway.
Very good. There you have it. Galway and Goodwood to sign off in a nutshell. That's it. My thanks to Ruby and Rory for joining me. Thanks to you for listening. And PK will be back in due course at some stage, I'm sure, when he's refreshed and recharged. But I've been Tom Nugent, and that has been From the Horse's Mouth.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.